pick up the authorized version of Holy Scriptures you'll find before you in the pews, and turn with me to the 10th chapter of 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 10. I want to bring a second message on this subject, the near sheaves with the devil's razors. Last Sunday night, we looked at Joseph in the prison house of the devilish Pharaoh. And we read that when Pharaoh sent for Joseph, Joseph didn't allow the devil's hand to get him the razor. He shaved himself. We come to the second portion of Scripture that deals with the devil's razor, and it's found here in 2 Samuel chapter 10. What an awful fool the ordinary man becomes, and what a tremendous amount of arrogance and cruelty does he become when he goes away from God. It is true of the ordinary man that he becomes a fool when he walks the devil's road. But there is a folly that is worse than the folly of an ordinary man. It's the folly of a king. Royal folly is folly at its foulest and fullest measure. Royal cruelty is the vilest cruelty of all. Vileness with a crown on its head is both the apex of colossal heights of vileness, and it's also the depths of the unfathomable pit of barbarity. Such was the vileness and barbarity of the king of the Ammonites, Hanun. David had been informed of Hanun's father's death. King Nahash, who was a good king and a friend of young David. And David, in his generosity of heart, sent messengers to his son and successor king. Look at chapter 10 and look with me at verse 1. And it came to pass after this that the king of the children of Ammon died, and Hanun his son reigned in his stead. Then said David, I will show kindness unto Hanun, the son of Nahash, as his father showed kindness unto me. And David sent to comfort him by the hand of his servants for his father. And David's servants came into the land of the children of Ammon. And the children of the princes of the children of Ammon said unto Hanun, their lord, thinkest thou that David doth honor thy father, that he hath sent comforters unto thee? Hath not David rather sent his servants unto thee to search the city and to spy it out and to overthrow it? Wherefore Hanan took David's servants and shaved off the one half of their beards and cut off their garments in the middle, even to their buttocks, and sent them away. When they told it unto David, he sent to meet them, because the men were greatly ashamed. And the king said, tarry at Jerusalem until your beards be grown, and then return. There are two special ornaments that cover over the nakedness of the human body. First of all, there are the hairs of the body, and then there's the garments that we wear. The law of God in these matters to the Jews were very special, very particular, and called forth judgment upon those who disobeyed those laws. The children of Israel, in the law of God, were protected from all uncleanness. They were never allowed to build a high altar approached by steps, lest their nakedness should be seen. And God hated the nakedness because it spoke of sin. For the first thing that happened to our fallen parents when they sinned, they became naked. Secondly, God gave orders about how they should keep their hair, and strict orders against shaving their hair, except they were lepers and were cleansed, or except they were Nazarenes who had entered into a religious law, and after their days of consecration were over, they had to shave themselves to be reconsecrated unto God. So the law was strict. If you wanted to insult and pour shame and ignominy upon a Jew, then you interfere with his clothing and with his beard. It is interesting to note that the soldiers of Rome, to insult Christ, they attacked his beard. They plucked the hairs from off his face. It is interesting to note that. You want to insult them, then you deal with their beard and their dress. And so this king, wicked king, inspired by his young men and his courtiers, they took those men and they cut off half their beards, which made it more difficult to remedy, because the Jew was not allowed to shave off the other part of his beard to make it equal with the part that had been shaved. That was not permitted, lest he interfere with the beard that was grown. So they put these men into a shameful position. And then they cut off their robes at the buttocks so that they would be exposed in their nakedness before the people. So this was the act of Shechem that Hanun committed upon these men. And there was judgment to come upon these men for so doing. There are some lessons that we need to learn. And the first lesson is this: to interfere with God's law is a dangerous thing to do. And God will cause a reaping day to come when those who interfere with His laws will be punished with all the severity of a God that is angry with them for breaking His law. If we sow to the flesh, of the flesh, we will reap corruption. Oh, it was a great day of sport for the Ammonites when they belittled the courtiers from David who brought greetings of comfort to the bereaved king. And they turned that sport into indecency. And that indecency into shame. And that shame into vileness. And covered those people with shame. And broke their power to resist. It's a terrible thing when the friendliness of the righteous is rejected by the ungodly. And here we have the friendship of righteous David rejected by the ungodly Ammonite. The existence of the offer of David's friendship was not requited. They did not requit the honor and generosity of King David, but rather spat in the face of the servants he sent. Notice also that the true heart of the Ammonites was exposed by their action. They were supposed to be friends, but they were fiends. They were supposed to be men who reverenced King David, but there were men who wanted to cast a slur on David and all he stood for. The true heart loves his enemy and wishes for his pardon and the opportunity to make the enemy a friend. But not so with these men. They turned in their bitterness and they took the devil's razor and shaved half the beard of these messengers of comfort. There are sinners in this meeting tonight, and they have done the same with the messengers that God has sent with His pardoning gospel. God has sent to you in various forms and by various methods the message of peace, the message of love, the message of hope, the message of pardon. But what have you done? Have you been thankful to God for His goodness? Have you striven in your heart and in your soul? And instead of bowing in reconciliation to the call and offer of the gospel, you have used the opportunity to discredit and shame the person that preached to you God's message of love. How terrible is sin! How wicked is the evil of sin that spurs men who could have pardon, could have life everlasting, could have peace with God, to remain in constant enmity with God, the God of truth, the God of love, and the God of tender compassion. The basis of this rejection exposes the sin of the heart and the sin of the mind and the sin of the soul. And if the Spirit of God does not conquer that in your life, you're headed for damnation. And at the end of life's journey, sinner friend, you'll be damned forever in the lake of fire that burns forever in the sight of God. Your torment and its smoke will ascend before God day and night forever. You cannot insult God. You cannot reject God. You cannot hate God. You cannot repudiate God and get away with it. Who has hardened his heart against God and prosper? That's a Bible question. And I defy you to find any man in all history that defied God and prospered. There is no prosperity to the Christ rejecting soul. Wickedness may turn an act of friendliness into the occasion of punishment, as it did here in this instance. And instead of a friendly relationship with the children of heaven, it became a relationship of you. For God had prophesied that He would destroy the children of Ammon from His face if they did not repent. And here we find them taking the road of reprobation, of God rejection, and we can trace in the consequent scriptures the end of the journey, which was the complete destruction of their throne and their king and their kingdom. The first blow is always struck by the enemy. But here we have the enemy striking the blow. A blow to bring down the prestige and honor of David, God's king. A blow at the sovereignty of King David and his God-appointed throne. An attack upon the holiness of God by attacking the laws of God. And an attack on God by attacking those who were made in His image. The power of sin in a man's life is so great. In a woman's life is so great. In a child's life is so great. that person will launch their soul out on a sea of insult to the God of heaven. How far does that insult lead? You have only to go into the Pilate's judgment hall and see how men abase the Christ of God. How they pulled the hairs from off his cheek. How they battered him and beat him. How they pulled the clothes from his body. How they did to him what was done to the men of David's court. Insulted them with every base insult that the devil and hell. You say to me, I would never do that with Jesus. But that's what you're doing, sinner friend, with Jesus. Your rejection of Christ is an insult to Christ. Your hatred of Christ merits God's immediate judgment. But God is not going to judge you immediately. Because of his great mercy. If he were strict to mark iniquity, not one sinner would ever stand. And all of us would have been in hell because we in our ungodly days rejected Christ and rejected his mercy and his love. Oh, my friend, see the shame of it all. If you go to the Psalm book, you will find certain psalms related to this incident. The 44th Psalm, the 68th Psalm, the psalms that speak of the wars of God, the psalms that speak about the war with Ammon, the psalms that speak about the terrible slaughter of the enemies of God and God's visit of retribution upon them because of their sin. The Psalter contains songs which betray an undeniable reference to these great wars and victories of King David. These belong in the first place the 60th Psalm, in which he begins by looking back on the invasion of the Syrians, in which his army had to lament sorrowful losses. And on the terrors of that war, David says, O God, why hast thou cast us off? Thou didst give us a banner that it might be displayed because of truth. But alas, we were smitten before our enemies. Everyone suffers from sin. The saints of God suffer from the sins of sinners. The family suffers from the sins of the members of the family. And this whole world is plunged into despair, discomfort, punishment because of man's sin. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine. There is no hope for you if you are found under the power of the devil's later. You're going to have an ear sheared in deep to even keep your bodily life before judgment falls swiftly and eternally. This is the solemn word of the solemn God. The word that says God is a consuming fire. There's a word that has said that God visits the iniquity of the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that he loved. There is a word that said we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ to answer for the deeds of the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. There's a verse that tells us, I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose face the heavens and the earth did flee away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which was the book of life, and the dead were judged out of the name, the things that were written in that book, whether they be good or bad. And whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death, a death that never died. The second death. Their fire continued. Their torments are never finished. Their judgment never ends. Eternity. Eternity. Where will you be? Eternity. I urge you, sinner, tonight to seek the Lord while he may be found. This is a subject that should terrify our thoughts and our lives and our hearts. This is the reality of the situation set forth in the plainest possible language by a God of mercy and a God of love. So terrible was hell that God himself rose up and gave his Son to save us from its flames. Why would God go so far in love? Because hell is so deep in judgment. Never you forget. You should, my sinner friend, all this night at the loving feet of the God of all, seek the Lord for his mercy and his grace, the cleansing of his blood, the salvation from his loving hand. I'm glad tonight I'm saved by sovereign grace. I'm glad tonight my trust is in Christ alone. I'm glad tonight I dare not trust the sweetest friend, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. That's the only safe anchor. The only safe place of rest is in the shadow of God's hand. Be sure your sin will find you out, and find you out it will. But oh, tonight, by confession, you can find out your sins cleansed in the Savior's blood, and your soul be whiter than the snow. May God help you to call upon the Savior and be redeemed. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank thee for this solemn hour. We thank thee for the word of the living God that liveth and abideth forever. We thank thee that because hell was so deep, thou didst send thy Son to save us from its everlasting bed. Thank you, O Lord, for your love. Thank you, O Savior, for your blood. Thank you, O Holy Spirit, for applying that blood to my heart and saving my soul. Have mercy on the lost in this meeting. Bring them to Christ for Jesus' sake. And the people of God said, Amen.